welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, last week I began to speak on, for me, a very important subject. We sang a lot of words this morning that really relate to it. But I began last week to speak about the fact that there is a knowing, that there is a knowing or a knowledge that one can have that destroys and removes doubt. That's an important truth to have, that there is available to us a knowing or a knowledge that can remove doubt from our lives when we are related to God by faith. Whether you call it a knowing, I call it a knowing. The Bible talks in terms of knowing, but we could talk about it being a knowledge that we have of the same thing. And we've sung a lot about it this morning in differing ways, but I want to talk about that. The heading this week would be a knowing that destroys or removes doubt. Having it enables us to navigate a course through all the circumstances and all of the trials that life brings to us. When we have this knowing, doesn't matter where we are at in our life, when we have this knowing, we're able to navigate a course that takes us out of it every time it comes our way, and we are able to be delivered from it. It's a knowing that God said we can have. And it comes by faith. It comes by our ability to believe. And I'm going to go back and just remind you of the scripture that we launched with. If you are with me, First Epistle of John. That's the Epistle of John, chapter 5. How many people want to know how to navigate their way through life? It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, what the problems are, what the issues are, what the diseases are, what the poverty state is like. How many want to know how to get around all of those? This is real stuff. It's not some professional presentation or you've got to do. This is real stuff. This is where the rubber touches the road. This is where your life and mine is really affected. This is where we can radiate and shine for God through Christ. Or just be like the majority of the other people out there who are under this weight. And the circumstance comes and they're paralyzed. And they lose their joy, they lose their peace. Their family starts to splinter because discord gets in there. This is serious stuff. And I'm not interested in just preaching, and you're not interested in me just preaching. And it's helping to get this stuff into our lives, not our heads or through our ears, into our lives, that our lives are affected, and the world can see it. Hallelujah. The world can see it. I haven't even read the scripture now. Let me tell you, The evidence, let me say this carefully, the evidence that God is with us, but for the world to be able to see, that evidence is that faith in this whole Word of God is working in our lives. I can't major on that more, but let me tell you, one of the days I was just reading the scriptures, and I was in John 3, a passage that you'll probably quote backwards. When I was reading the scripture again, and it says, Nicodemus came out, the Bible says, John chapter 3, verse 2, I think, Nicodemus came out of at night to meet with Jesus. I guess because he was concerned about what would happen if everybody and the religious people found out he was talking to this heretic. He came out at night. And these words, I've read them many, many times. I remember the time when I read this and it just hit me. And it says this, Nicodemus, this man wasn't born again. This man was just pure religion. He didn't have any revelation of God. And he said to Jesus, he came out at night. This is how important it was for him to get a word with him. It says, I know that you are a man sent from God. Because no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. For the first time it hit me. Whoa. People should have a revelation that God is in my life. How does that come about? How does that revelation get out there for them to see it? I remember I just jumped in the inside of, wow, Lord God, that's so true. But how does it get manifest? By my ability to believe him. And my ability to believe him depends on my ability to cancel out every negative that would try to contradict the word of God. So this simple man has accepted a long time ago that from this book, from cover to cover, is true. The Bible says the word of God is already proven. It's a tried word. So this man here believes every word. Everything God has said there, I accept and I believe it, and I'm able to live by it. What do you call that? The Bible calls it faith. For faith comes by the word. Faith is the word. You have no faith without, you don't have no, let me rephrase this. You have no faith in God without the word. Because God's word is this Bible. And so therefore, for us to believe God, we have to believe the Bible. That's faith. So faith in God comes through my ability to believe this word, talk it, live it, think it, believe it, act it. And so for the world to be able to recognize that God, I have a relationship with God, it comes about because of the fact that I believe him. And therefore it affects my life. It affects the way I talk. It affects the way I think. It affects the way I function. It affects the way I act. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? But you know, in the center of all of that, what I've just said there is you or me. And if you and I are in the middle of that, wow, then all that God's given, you're living off. You understand? You're acting like you've got it. You're talking like you've got it. You're thinking like you've got it. And if you're thinking like you've got it, if you're acting like you've got it, if you're talking like you've got it, then there is no room and there is no place for doubt and the enemy to come in and shut you down and start you. Your nails up to the elbow is just worried sick about these circumstances and all of these things. But God has already freely given you all things in Christ to enjoy, and you're living on them. So there's no need to worry. There's no need to worry. What are we singing? This is the confidence. This is our confidence. Loud. No, what is it? This is our confidence. What's our confidence? You never fail. You never fail. God, you never fail. Hallelujah. God, it's never, God doesn't fail ever. You fail to receive. Oh. I wasn't going this way, you know, but if I filled a table here with all the goodies that you would have, presently are standing in need of. If it was money, there's stacks of money. If there's the best of food, there's the best of food. If it's clothing, whatever, holidays, there's a ticket to, if I filled it with everything, right? I said, there it is, and you just stayed in your seat. Where's the problem? Where's the problem? It's certainly not up here. It's with you, because you don't receive it. You're content and rather would go the way that you're used to through life because your mum did it, your dad did it, your grandparents did it, the great-grandparents did it, all the neighbors around you, the world does the same thing, so you can't step out into a different way even though it's a better way. So you carry on chewing your nails down to the elbows rather than accept the great love of God who in Christ Jesus so loved you and me that he freely, through Christ, in Christ, gave us all things. The Bible says that Satan, do you know why you have circumstances that are not pleasant? You've heard me say this time and time again in differing ways. Do you know why you have circumstances that are not pleasant or enjoyable? Sickness that comes into your body, financial constraints that come and hit you, or whatever it is. The reason we have that is because we have an enemy. The world forgets it, the church forgets it, and start blaming God all the time. Why does God allow this? God hasn't allowed it. God has gone as far as he can go. He's dealt with the enemy. Do you know where he is? He's under God's foot. And in Christ Jesus, who now lives inside the redeemed, that foot is empowered by the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit, and God's given us the ability to put our foot upon the neck of every enemy and every problem that comes along. And if we refuse to do it, it's not God's fault, and the enemy's going to have a field day. But the enemy's there, but he has been defeated. Hallelujah. He's now just a whimpering whelp, beaten. But I want to tell you, in the eyes and the mind and the lives of those that don't dare to believe God, he's an uncontrollable giant that when he comes, he can do whatever he wants to and there's nothing that can stop him. But I want to tell you, in me, there's a hope of glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a life, there's a power, there's an authority. They call him the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, they call him God. Glory to God. For God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When the devil comes in, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit stands there. And as soon as he gets sight of wind that is there, he turns his heels and runs. It's the truth. Fear hath torment. When you allow your circumstances to have their way and to reign and not stand upon them and deal with them according to the word of God, then you are going to be a tormented person and the enemy is going to control your life. But praise God, he has freely given us all things in Christ to enjoy. Lost my thread, so I better go back to where we're going. Otherwise, you'd just be hearing John Abbey. Did you get anything out of that? Did you really? Do you think it'll change your week? Only if you use it. But let's go to First Epistle of John. And we're talking about a knowing. Chapter 5. And we're talking about a knowing that will destroy or remove doubt. Are you with me? I'd rather you read your Bibles. Have you all got Bibles to read? Because I'd like to ask them to take that off the screen. I'd rather have you your nose in your Bibles. How many have not got Bibles with them? One. Just one? Two. Oh, you're sharing one there. Anyone else not got a Bible? You're a pretty good bunch of dudes, aren't you? Got your Bibles. Praise the Lord. Well, okay, we'll leave that on for those that haven't. Scripture says this, "This is the confidence that we have in him." Now, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we require of him. First thing I'd like anyone to do, and I hope you don't put this book into a place of such awesome respect that your respect is limited to these pages rather than the contents, that's the words. My Bible has got marks and underlines all over it. I'd like to, if you don't do that, and even if you do this morning, I'd like to encourage you to get your pen and go look at those two verses right now, verse 14 and 15 of 1st Epistle of John 5, and underline the word no. And someone shout out and tell me, how many words have you had to underline? And this is the confidence that we have in him. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions or the requests that we make of him. Let's just go through that quickly again. This is the confidence that we have in him. Who is the we? Who is the we? The people, believers. Any believer. This is the confidence any believer has. In who? In God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the confidence that we believers have in God the Father. And that confidence is this. This is the confidence. What's this confidence? That if we ask anything according to his will. In other words, if you can find any promise in the Bible that God has made, you can ask him concerning the promise. You can ask him. Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible's saying. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his word, his promise, if you ask anything, then the Bible makes a great statement then. We know that he hears us. You know, God hears every cry you make, every call you make, every prayer you make. He hears it. But he can only honor those prayers that are making a demand upon his promises. You'll find every promise that you need is in the book. You'll find it. We used to sing a chorus. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I'm standing on the word divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Huh? Isn't that great? So here we're talking about the fact that we're asking God. And he's saying this. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Isn't that great? So the minute you start talking to God, he hears you. You may feel like that you're an unbeliever. He knows you. He'll listen to you because he loves you. He came for you. If you're a Christian and you're believing, then you have a right to ask anything that you will. That's the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his promise, he hears us. So the first thing you've got to know is God hears you. God, it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of you being able to believe what he has said. And he said he hears you. The great apostle John, that wrote Revelation as well as the gospel, is making a powerful revelationary declaration here. And it's what we're just reading. This is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's your beginning. And if I know that he hears me. No. Do you know? If I know that he hears me, then I know that I have the petitions that I ask of him. I've got him. I've got him. God's not a man that he would lie. You've got to receive it, though. Now, we're on journey, but we have to take this step by step. This knowing is what I'm talking about. Doubt, when you can get hold of this knowing in this word, when you can get that into your spirit, and I'm going to try and help you, then you will remove and eradicate doubt. Bible says that we have the petitions that require of him. Let me turn you to back to 1st Epistle of John chapter 3. And verse 22, 23, 24. And we're talking about confidence. It all begins in confidence. You know what confidence is? Confidence is a believing in God. A trust. An acceptance of. That's what confidence is. Confidence is an assurance I'm assured about this. That's what confidence is. Now look at verse 21 of 1 John 3. Beloved, and it's the great apostle John that's writing still. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, of His Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us a command to. In those three verses, you have help to understand how we seem to fall on our face when it comes to knowing what He wants us to know. Verse 21 probably is the biggest part. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And what's the confidence we have? If our heart doesn't condemn us, we'll talk about that in a moment. And whatever, verse 22 says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Simply put, the real commandment He's talking about here is our ability to believe Him. We used to sing a chorus about another song, and that was this, only believe. Only believe. You say, I believe. Well, do we? Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. And of course, that's born out of the Word. The Word says God has freely given us all things. And in 1 John 5, 14, 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask. It's repeated again in 1 Epistle of John chapter 3 that we've just read. Anything. I don't think I can't ask to anything. That anything is based upon His promises. And His promises, I haven't found an area, I haven't found anywhere in the Bible that you're not pretty well able to ask Him for anything except it's going to be something devilish. He's not going to give you that. But otherwise, there is nothing there whatsoever you ask according to His promises. Christ went and dealt the death blow to Satan, who has come, and he is causing our problems day by day. Satan, John 10:10, Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what your circumstances are made up of. All your negative circumstances are come out of what Satan is doing all the time, every day, doesn't let up. He's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And your problems, your circumstances, come under one of those three headings. I guarantee it. But the scripture goes on right after that in John 10 and 11. It says this, Jesus said, but I am come, hallelujah, that you might have life as God intended and more abundantly. Praise God. Why have I said that? Because circumstances is the devil's strategy to stop you in your tracks, whether you're a believer or an unsaved person, and just to cause your life to be hell on earth, because he is the author of hell. He is the king of hell. He loves hell. That's who he is. He was made a serpent because he wasn't worthy to walk on any legs and had to wriggle around just on his body. That was to typify this demonic demon of darkness called Satan. But Jesus, I've come that you might have life. And that's what we've read about in the scriptures. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, when there he took every blow that Satan could throw at him. He took it without wavering. He took it. It didn't matter what he did, physically, mentally, or didn't matter what he did. He took it. And praise God, Satan was just wanting to beat him up to a pulp and then get him in the grave. And that was it. He was dead. No one had ever risen from the dead. Nobody. God knew this, and Jesus knew this, and that's why God gave Jesus the opportunity to back out of the Garden of Eden experience. But Jesus said, if there's no other way to deliver the people, not my will but yours be done. And he made himself an offering, a scapegoat for the devil to do with him as he would. In human form, Jesus was. And praise God, when he got him in the grave, the devil thought he had triumphed, as you know, but then Resurrection morn came, hallelujah, and Jesus rose from the dead, demonstrating that with God, listen to me, with God. I don't know what your circumstances are right now, but listen to me, with God. I'm talking to you under the Holy Spirit, with God. Nothing is impossible. Nothing. Why? Because God so loves the world, He's our daddy. There's not one of us, past, present, or future, that has not come from Father God. Not one. Not one. We all came out of Father. Hallelujah. You think He doesn't love you that much? He loves you more than you can ever imagine, and He's already done the deed in His Son, Jesus Christ, and through Christ. So today, Christ came. He bound Satan, He bound all of his works, He triumphed over him in every shape and form, and has given you power over all the power of the devil. And the Bible says in Colossians 1, He has delivered us from the powers of darkness. You've got to believe that, not just have it in your head or read it occasionally. You live by that. You live by that. Now, if you didn't like cats, and you're afraid of a cat, and there are some people like that, then if you believe that God's with you, then get the caddy and just say, putty, just rope strap him on his back. You'll find that he will accept that, and there's no problem with you, and then the problem is in you. And how did that problem get there? I'll tell you. The devil put it there. You have a spirit of fear. And it's not just over cats. It's over any circumstance that comes along that seems a little bit too big for you to handle. How on earth are we going to handle this? Or sickness, or whatever it is. The enemy comes in and torments. But the Bible says He hasn't given us. God has not given us. He has not given us the spirit of fear. But what He has given us is a spirit of power. The spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. That's what the Bible says God's given us. I reject the spirit of fear. If fear comes, put it under your foot and declare the word of God over it. Hallelujah. Because greater is He within you than he that's in the world. That's what my Bible tells me. You know, the devil hasn't got a chance against you and me as believers if we will just accept the word. Know this. Know it. Not getting very far today, are we? Haven't got very far at all. My Lord. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know, see, I know He hears me, whatsoever I ask according to His word. And if I know He hears me, then I know, because He's not a man that would, I know. All I've got to do is know that He hears me, and I automatically know that whether they're in my hand or not, but I've got what I asked for. It's just on the journey. It's just a matter of time. I've got it. That's finished. 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 Oh, I'd love to go on. I'd love to talk to you about Peter. Peter. When he was in the boat with the disciples, and they were making their way across the Sea of Galilee, and there in the boat was the disciples, and Jesus wasn't with them. He told them to go on ahead and to catch him up. And then during the night, they look out there and see him walking. Matthew 14, you'll find it. And there was Jesus walking on the water towards them, and they were scared. Dark, and there is this person seemingly walking on the water. And Jesus, when he gets near to the boat, Jesus says, "Fear not, it is I." And Peter responded and said, you find this in Matthew 14, he said this, he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." The only way he get there from the boat is to walk on the water. Wow. And so he got out of the boat. So the Lord says, "Come." So he got out of the boat and he started to walk towards Jesus. And then suddenly he took his eyes off Jesus, looked at the circumstance, the water, and he started to sink. and you yelled out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Jesus stretched out his hand. Do you know the words that Jesus first spoke to him? He said, "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now the opposite to confidence is doubt. The opposite to confidence is, you won't like to confess it, but really the opposite to confidence is unbelief. You won't like to confess it in your circumstances. You say, "I'm believing God," but if you cannot have the knowledge unwavering in your spirit and in your life that what God says will come to pass, you don't believe him. You don't trust him. That's the opposite. And God, Jesus said to Peter, he said, "O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Jesus reached out and grabbed him. I want to tell you this, even though you doubt, he'll never fail you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never, 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 never. But let's learn something from Peter there before we do close. Second time of closing this, but before we do close. You know, I always thought that Peter had great faith. Wow. I mean, to get out of the boat and step onto water? I mean, this is a lot of fathoms deep. It's pretty turbulent at the time. And he gets out of the boat and he starts to walk towards Jesus. Luke sees the circumstances, is reminded of what the devil can do, if you like. It's my paraphrase. And he forgets what God can do, and he is overruled by what these waves can do and the water can do. He starts to sink. I thought that was great faith. But I can't challenge the Lord. He said, "Wherefore didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith?" I pondered that. Remember the time I pondered that? I said, "Well, how is that?" And I understood in my spirit what he was saying to me. You know, Jesus called it little faith. For someone like me, it was great faith. But from Jesus' perspective, from God's perspective, it's little faith, because he knew the end from the beginning. Why was it little faith? It was very small faith. Because he stepped out. He stepped into the actions of it, but he couldn't finish it. He started off with it, but he couldn't finish it. He started talking, "I believe you, I believe you, I believe you." But he didn't really believe. He couldn't go the whole course. Because he could have walked the water. Jesus was walking it. He could have walked the water. And Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." Do you know, I understood, and that, on the occasion I'm reflecting on right now, as I was reading that, that what Jesus said to me, the Spirit of God spoke to me, was this. So many of us start to do great exploits in God, but our faith is little. It's big enough for us to just step out to start this thing. But it's not enough to finish it. If we're going to start something, we've got to have faith that determines we can finish it too. And that faith is this, that we know he hears us, and therefore we know, whether we can see it or not, we know we have received what he said we would receive. We know it. Now, we have a knowing. That knowing is God is not a man that he would lie. That knowing is knowing that God is faithful. That knowing is knowing that it's all because he loves me so much. He's my dad. And the scripture says, if you, being an earthly father, know how to give good gifts to your children, what dad would let their child drown? How much more will your heavenly Father give to those that ask him? Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's a knowing. You've got to settle it. Only you can do it. It's between you and God. You've got to make up your mind and say, "I'm going to live this word." That word, to live it, it starts off by you believing it in your heart. Confessing it. You talk it out. I'm talking it all the while. I'm talking that word is. Hilary and I, when we pray, just talking the word. We think it. We think it. So we confess it with our mouth because we believe it in our heart. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd love to say so much, but I must let you go unless you want to stay till tea time. I'm all right. Did you get anything this morning? There's so much God wants us to unravel that we can live in the realm He wants us to live. You've got to continue to hear Him, church. But to hear, you've got to read the Word. You've got to read it continually. You've got to allow God to speak to you as you're reading the verses. It's like you see these people who are connoisseurs of food, and they're sort of letting their taste buds and feel and all of it form an opinion. You understand? Or you see these people, or sometimes you would see it on, what's that, Morning Kitchen or something, where they bring out a bottle of wine and the guy, what's he do? Does he smell it or whatever? And then you say, you know, you have to savor the word, that the Holy Spirit start to bring all the flavors out of the word, all the truths that's in that verse that you're just reading. Don't just read it, let the Holy Spirit unwrap it, and you will find that there are dazzling revelations of truth that light up your spirit, man, and affect you completely. It's not in the head, it's in the heart. Let me just say, in reverse that relation to verse 20, No, 1 John 3:21, it says, if your heart condemns you not, then have you confidence. Here's that word again, confidence towards God. Your heart is your spirit, man. Your heart is the you, not this body. Let me say this to you. You know, your body, this physical body, cannot live without your heart. Do I need to go into that? You understand that? It cannot live without your heart. But let me tell you this. Your heart can live without your body. So often we put the priority in the wrong place on our body. About the flesh. How it affects us. You need to take more nurturing care of your spirit, man. Your heart. Because it's the Holy Spirit there. Acknowledge Him. Reverence Him. Worship Him because He's God. Listen to Him. He's the wisest counselor that there is. He created the heavens and the earth. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let Him talk to you through the verse. And that comes on the realization that our heart is so important to this whole thing. Our heart is not just this pump there. It's the person of the Holy Spirit who's alive in us. Give Him His place. Trust Him. Because if your heart is not allowed to do that, your spirit man, you are controlling Him and saying, shut up, keep quiet, nothing to do with you. The body's dealing with this. The body doesn't know the way. And part of the body is the mind. If we were talking more, I would talk about the fact that we have to get hold of this other most important part of our makeup, and it's the mind, and renew it.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.